Ah, you're here. Good.
A ghost couldn't dig a grave, make John strangle me to death.
Lights out, everybody.
Welcome to the Old Time Radio Cast, where we take the most terrifying tales from the golden age of radio, clean them up, and remaster them for your listening pleasure, truly preserving the very best era of audio entertainment with stories of suspense, mystery, and horror. This time around, we're visiting The Haunting Hour, an extremely well-written and at times melodramatic radio series that presented some of the best murder mysteries of the time. And thanks to the preservation efforts of the Armed Forces Radio and Television Service, we have access to at least 52 episodes of this fascinating horror series. This week, we will hear The Devil's Deep, followed by Bird of Death. Enjoy.
Do not break the stillness of this moment, for this is a time of mystery, a time when imagination is free and moves forward swiftly, silently. This is The Haunting Hour.
Devil's Deep. At the foot of a great cliff, a police launch is being slowly pushed by the ocean currents toward jagged rocks where the water boils and swirls as in a giant cauldron. Searchlights stab the darkness to reveal grappling irons, probing the inky waters of the Devil's Deep.
Hey, Inspector Bowman. Captain wants to know if he can turn the launch around now. He says Devil's Deep is no place to be caught when the tide turns.
Tell him to hold it a minute, Sergeant. I think we got our corpse. Give me a hand pulling that rope.
Okay. Why is it they always seem heavier when they're dead?
Never mind the questions. Just get them over the side.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
Take it out, Cap.
We'll stretch him out on deck for you, Inspector Bowman. Drowned, eh?
Maybe. Fell off the cliff up there. Just swing that searchlight down here. Yeah, he's the one I want, all right.
Good gravy. Was another one?
Yeah, two of them. Help me unbutton his coat.
Well, in that case, you're lucky to have dragged up the one you wanted.
You're telling me? I have two suspects back at headquarters. One of them is lying about how this guy was killed.
Well, which was it? The fall from the cliff or drowning?
Neither, Sergeant. Take a look at this bullet hole. I sent for you, Miss Scott, and you, Mr. Malone, because I have some new evidence. I want the whole story. Everything.
But, Inspector Bowman, I've told you how it happened.
From the beginning this time, Miss Scott. And with no hints from you, Mr. Malone.
Oh, I'm sorry, Inspector, but this seems unfair. You've got absolutely nothing on either Miss Scott or myself.
I'll decide that, Mr. Malone. If you please, Miss Scott.
Well, I came here to the island because of my stepbrother. You see, Duncan and I were closer than many real brothers and sisters. I'd taken care of him ever since our folks died. I guess I decided to come that day in the doctor's office when he said...
Ever since I've known you, Peggy Scott, you've been saddled with that young brother of yours.
Well, I've almost made up my mind to buy a cottage on the island, Dr. Ramsey. Oh, it's a lovely cottage. Set back from a high cliff. It's straight out of a storybook.
Good. Might get him away from his imagination. He's got too much, Peggy. It's bad.
I know. But I understand him, Doctor. And I can give him understanding and kindness.
Sounds like the very thing, Peggy. But take my advice and go down by boat. As long as you avoid people, you and Duncan are avoiding trouble.
It was early in the season, and there weren't many passengers on the steamer that crawled along the coast. But even so, there was one too many. For fate sent Mr. Sherman across our path. Events were already closing in on me the first morning when I was trying to make Duncan comfortable in his deck chair.
I wish you wouldn't treat me like a baby. I'll go to my stateroom and read.
Oh, you promised not to open that trunk full of books until we reached the island, Duncan. Now, here, let me fix that blanket.
Come here alone, will you, Peggy? That old fool is looking at us again. I could wring his neck.
That's no way to talk about Mr. Sherman. He was very sweet to us.
Helping us with our bags was just an excuse. He's been following us ever since we got on board. Haven't you noticed the way he's looking at you? Keep him away from Miss Peggy, or say, help me out.
You'll what, Duncan?
Nothing, Pidge. Maybe I'm just imagining things at that.
Oh, I do wish you'd try to get over it, Duncan.
Why, Peggy? Imagination's a handy thing, you know. Lots of times it helps you to look into the future.
The future fast became the present. And on a ship, there's very little chance to escape it. Certainly, I never expected the train of events that harmless little Mr. Sherman's attention was to bring. I can still remember how apologetic he looked the next day when he finally found me alone.
Well, it's a lovely day, Miss Scott, isn't it? You mind if I sit down?
Oh, why, no, Mr. Sherman, of course not.
Well, I confess I'm relieved your brother isn't on deck today, Miss Scott. I do believe he dislikes me.
Oh, Duncan takes a bit of understanding, Mr. Sherman. He's not well.
That hardly explains it, but... Well, I'll make friends with a boy yet, you'll see. I hear you've bought the place at Devil's Deep. Rather lonely place for just the two of you.
You sound as though you've been on the island before, Mr. Sherman.
Oh, come up every summer. Miss Scott, you know that chap over there?
The one in the trench coat and the battered brown hat?
Yes. This is the second time in the last hour I've caught him staring at me.
Well, maybe he thinks he knows you.
Well, we'll ignore him. No doubt you'll attract enough handsome young men without adding me to the competition. I must get around that brother of yours, though. Now, I'll drop down to his stateroom and have a chat with him.
Oh, no, no. That is, I'd wait until he's feeling better. He might not be very friendly and...
No? Well, now, don't you worry about that, young lady. I'll turn on the famous Sherman charm. That'll do the trick. My friends tell me it's fatal. Absolutely fatal.
My stateroom was directly across from Duncan's in one of those passageways that leads onto the deck. When I retired that night, I left my door ajar in case he should call. I don't know how late it was when I awakened, but it was the sound of his door that brought me to with a start. Then after a moment, I heard something heavy being moved on deck. I got to the window in time to see Duncan pushing something through the lifeboats. Without stopping to think, I grabbed my robe and rushed out. I saw him leaning against a lifeboat, looking down into the water. Duncan! Duncan! Duncan, are you all right?
Well, hello, Pegs. Of course I'm all right. What are you doing out here?
Well, I heard you, Duncan. You were moving something.
Yeah. My trunk.
Your trunk? With your books in it?
That's right. I pushed it overboard.
Oh, Duncan. Didn't you notice that man in the trench coat there beyond the lifeboat? Come on, let's go back. He's coming over here.
Let him come. It's none of his business.
Come along, Duncan. I'm not going to stand here and be made a fool of. Let's walk back to the room.
All right. Watch your step, Peggy. I had to lift the trunk over that threshold thing. That's it. Well, good night.
Not so fast, young man. You haven't even started for bed. I'm coming in.
No, Peggy, leave me alone, will you? I don't want you in my cabin.
Nevertheless, I'm coming in. Now, where's the light switch? Oh. Now, Duncan, I'm not going to move until I see you take your jacket off and stop. Duncan! Your books are piled up against the wall. They weren't in the... Duncan, what was in that trunk? Mr. Sherman had disappeared. When we docked next morning, I looked for him. He didn't get off the boat. The purser hadn't seen him. I was frantic. I couldn't believe Duncan had... Anyway, I decided to go to the cottage first and then come back and phone Dr. Ramsey. As you know, there's no road to Devil's Deep. My stepbrother and I walked along the path through the woods. It was almost noon when we reached the house.
Well, sis, this place isn't bad at all. Sort of wild and woolly. Hear that surf beating on the rocks down below?
Leave the bags out here and go on inside, Duncan.
Yeah, all right, sure. Say, this is all right, Peggy. Nice and cozy. Fireplace and everything.
Oh, Duncan, if only... Duncan, sit down, dear. I've got to talk with you.
Peggy, what's the use of questions? You know how I get mixed up sometimes? I forget things I've done. Why? I simply forgot I'd taken the books out of my trunk, that's all.
You don't know how I want to believe you, dear, but
why don't you forget all about it, huh? I have. I feel better already. You ought to be glad that I've gotten out of the dumps.
Oh, I am, Duncan. But after last night, what's that you've got there?
A note. It was lying on the table.
The cleaning woman must have left it. Here, let me see it.
It's addressed to me, Peggy. I don't recognize the handwriting, do you?
To you? That's strange. Who could have gotten here before us?
It's easy enough to find out.
But we don't know anybody here. I couldn't... Duncan, what's the matter? What does it say?
It says... people hang for murder.
Oh, please, dear, don't look like that. Here, let me have it. If silence is worth $10,000, I'll forget about that trunk. Blackmail? But who? Suddenly, I realized. The young man in the trench coat. Then, almost as an afterthought, it came over me. Duncan had really killed Mr. Sherman. It was in the open now. It had to be finished.
What are we going to do, Peggy? They'll hang me. You know they will.
Please, please, Duncan. I've got to think.
I couldn't help it, Peggy. I didn't know what I was doing. That old fool Sherman, he came to see me. He drove me to it.
Oh, I suppose I knew what had happened all the time. But I didn't want to believe it. We'll have to go to the police, Duncan.
No. I'll kill myself first. I won't do it. You got to help me, Peggy. You're the only one who can.
Oh, I've tried, dear. And maybe I've only hurt you. Don't you see that somebody else knows now, even though the note isn't signed?
The guy in the trench coat, sis. We can pay him off. Dad left you plenty. You can get the money.
It wouldn't work, Duncan, even if it were right. Blackmail doesn't end anything.
But it's my only chance, Pegs. I'll kill myself if you don't. You know what Dad said when he died? You gotta take care of me. You get the money, won't you? Please, Peggy.
All right, dear. I'll get the money.
The Devil's Deep. A police launch has dragged the turbulent waters of the Devil's Deep and found the body of a man. So far, Inspector Bowman has neglected to mention that fact to the two young people who sit beneath the glaring light in his office. The eyes of the young man in the trench coat have never left Peggy Scott as she goes back over her story.
So, Miss Scott, this brother of yours, Duncan, takes one of his crazy dislikes to this Sherman guy on the boat, and that night he shoves a trunk overboard. You were the one watching this, Malone?
Naturally, Inspector.
So when you found that blackmail note waiting for you in your cottage, Miss Scott, you knew right away it was Malone who was onto the murder.
Yes, and I was sure of it after I'd gone to the bank that afternoon and arranged for a transfer of my funds.
Hey, lady, wait a minute. Mind if I walk you back to Devil's Deep, Miss Scott?
How did you know my name? What do you want?
Oh, just a couple of questions, Miss Scott. Like, are you in the habit of calling on bank presidents the minute you get in town?
That is none of your business.
I'm afraid it is. Very much my business.
Oh, yes, I'd forgotten your note. I suppose that's true. Now, please, if you'll let me by.
Not so fast, please. I've got to talk with you and your brother.
Mr. Malone, if you're wise, you'll keep very much away from my stepbrother. That's a warning. We'll be ready for the next note when you send it. Goodbye. Suddenly, I knew that Duncan and this Mr. Malone must not meet. Above all else, I had to get my brother back to Dr. Ramsey before there was another tragedy. But next morning, when I returned from the bank where I'd gone to sign the necessary papers... I'm back, Duncan. Want to help me... Duncan, what are you doing with that poker?
We've got company, Peggy.
Your stepbrother is a very excitable young man, Miss Scott.
I was watching when he came sneaking in here.
I warned you, Mr. Malone, but I suppose one in your profession doesn't mind a few risks.
Tell me, Did you know the man you were talking to on shipboard a few days ago?
Now, listen to me. You better...
Duncan, what did Sherman say to your sister that caused you to get so excited?
Get out. Get out, I tell you.
Okay. Okay, I'm going. Just let me warn you that you're playing with dynamite, Miss Scott. I'll be seeing you.
I don't understand, Duncan. Why did he come here?
On the table there. The blackmail note, Peggy. The second one.
Like Mr. Malone, the note was confident and explicit, even to the denominations of the money to be tied into a package and brought to the cliff that night. Except for the second trip to the bank, neither Duncan nor I left the cottage all day. Somehow we both had a feeling of being watched, and it grew stronger as evening approached. Finally, it was dark.
Peggy, over here to the window. I saw a light moving down there along the shore.
I guess the time has come, Duncan.
Yeah. There it is again, Pace. Mm-hmm. He's got a flashlight way down at the foot of the path.
That means that he'll have to come through the woods to get out onto the cliff above Devil Deep.
He picked that spot because it's open ground. He can be sure there's nobody out there except me.
Oh, I wish you didn't have to go. We could leave the money there.
How could we? The note said me alone with the money. I'd better get out there before he does. Where's that package that the money up in?
Here it is. I wondered if you were going to forget it.
Forget it? Are you kidding, Peggy?
You've got to be honest with me, Duncan. You weren't thinking of doing anything. Anything we'd both be sorry for.
What do you mean? Like Sherman?
Yes.
Peggy, I tell you, I was crazy that night. All I want to do is get this over with. You'll see. I'll pay him off and I'll get right back here.
All right, dear. Go quickly now. I'll be waiting for you. But I knew I wouldn't be, for I never intended to let Duncan meet Bob Malone. The package I'd given him contained torn strips of paper. It would never be opened, because I was going to meet the blackmailer before he reached the cliff. Quickly, I got the money and slipped out the back way. There wasn't a sound except for the roar of the surf in the distance. The woods made the night even blacker. When I reached the path, there was no sign of the flashlight. But pretty soon, I thought I heard footsteps coming up. Suddenly, I heard a sound close behind me. As I turned, the earth opened up with a blinding flash, and everything went black. Slowly, I began to whirl back into the light. I opened my eyes, and so I was back in the cottage, lying on the couch in the living room. After a moment, the ceiling tilted back into place, and I turned my head and tried to focus on the man sitting beside me.
It's Bob Malone, Miss Scott. Don't be frightened. You got quite a sock on the head, but you're all right now.
Why did you hit me?
Don't try to talk. Just lie back and be quiet.
Oh, but the money...
It's in my pocket. Don't try to sit up.
Take it and go. Go before Duncan comes back.
Your brother doesn't even know what's happened yet. He's still waiting out on the cliff. Now just forget him for a minute, Peggy, because I've got something more important for you right now. Sherman, come around the couch where Miss Scott can see you.
Sherman? Mr. Sherman, but he's dead.
Oh, not at all, Miss Scott. Your friend Malone brought me back from a watery grave. Very inconsiderate, don't you think?
Cut the crack, Sherman. Look, Peggy, if you'd given me half a break, I'd have told you I was a private detective. Sherman's a well-known blackmailer. When I spotted him talking to you on the boat, I figured it was worth looking into.
But, Mr. Malone, then there never was any reason for Duncan to be blackmailed. Mr. Sherman tricked him. He somehow made Duncan think he'd killed him.
I think your brother needs a psychiatrist, badly.
That's not important now. The important thing is that Duncan's not a murderer. Oh, don't you understand? It was his imagination. Sometimes the things in his mind seem real to him. He hated Mr. Sherman enough to...
Yes, that's it. Sherman worked on this quirk of his, got Duncan excited, faked a death
scene. Now, look here, Malone, I told you before...
All the time I was frightened to death of you, Mr. Malone.
That's my fault. When I saw your brother push that trunk overboard, I got kind of worried. I checked the passenger list and then everyone who got off the boat.
So did I. Then Mr. Sherman didn't get off.
Oh, yes, he did. After you were nowhere around.
You were a little too anxious to believe the worst of your brother, if I may say so, Miss Scott.
I told you to keep out of this, Sherman. You see, Peggy, when I saw our blackmailing friend, knew there wasn't anybody in that trunk, I stopped worrying.
Like fun you did, old boy. You've been tailing me ever since you saw me talking to the young lady that morning.
But I never figured it was more than your usual blackmail routine, till I saw how scared Miss Scott was.
Yes, but don't you see? Duncan and I thought he was dead.
Yes, I see that now. Lucky I followed him out here tonight. I was right behind him when he came up the path with the flashlight.
It's too bad you couldn't have stopped him from hitting me.
Shut up, Sherman. Suppose you and I stroll down to the kid brother and tell him he can relax.
Oh, but Duncan thinks he's dead. Don't you see the kind of a shock it'll be when he sees him?
I can't leave Sherman here. Just you leave this to me. I don't think you should try to get up yet.
Oh, but you don't understand. Duncan flies off the handle so easily.
I know that only too well. Come along, Sherman. I think Miss Scott's stepbrother will be delighted to find you returned from the dead.
Thank you, Miss Scott. I'll admit that up to this point, your story checks in every detail. But what actually happened afterwards out on that cliff?
I don't really know, Inspector Bowman. I never saw Duncan or Mr. Sherman again. Mr. Malone was the only one to come back alive.
I have told you what happened out there, Inspector, just as I told Miss Scott.
Mr. Malone, you've told me that when Duncan saw Sherman, the man he thought he'd killed, he flew into a rage and attacked him. But Sherman had a revolver, and during the struggle, he shot Duncan, and they both went over the cliff.
I'm sure that's what happened, Inspector. I should have known that that's exactly what Duncan would do.
I happen to know Sherman's record, Miss Scott. Blackmailer, yes, but he never carried a gun.
That's what I thought. Why, I didn't bother to search him.
I'm afraid I can't believe you, Malone. We dragged the Devil's Deep an hour ago. We recovered Sherman's body. He was the one killed by the bullet.
And you think maybe I took things into my own hands?
If you didn't, I'm suggesting you tell us differently.
Well, you forced me into a corner, Inspector. You asked for it, don't forget. Let's go back to the moment Sherman and I left Miss Scott in the cottage near the cliff. There was a bright moon as the blackmailer and I headed toward the spot where young Duncan sat on a rock, staring down into Devil's Deep.
I wonder what Duncan's going to say when he sees me, Malone. I do make a rather healthy corpse, don't you think?
That's your worry, Sherman. But I wouldn't like to be in your shoes.
You don't go for that poor sick boy line with this kid, do you?
I do, Sherman. He's studying to be a manic depressive. He's on the way toward making the grade.
Well, in that case, you're going to have a tough time proving anything against me, Malone.
The blackmail notes in your handwriting are pretty good evidence, I'd say. Hold it now. He's seen us. Now, let me handle this. Everything under control, Duncan?
Of course, Mr. Malone. I've been waiting for you. I saw you on the path a while ago.
Good. Got anything to say to the ghost of Mr. Sherman?
Plenty. Stupid bungling rat. Hope you give him the works.
Now, look here, kid. I never did like this deal, but you made it seem harmless enough.
You think it was harmless, Duncan? To hire Sherman to make like a corpse so you could blackmail yourself and scare your sister into paying off?
I should really have killed him. All he had to do was stay out of your way.
All this might have been more harmless, Duncan, if you hadn't sneaked back and slugged your sister just before we came up the path. Was that necessary?
I was pretty mad when I opened that package and found the paper she'd given me. I had to get my money without letting her know it was me. You know, I could have worked this blackmail stunt again sometime.
Yeah, I suppose you could. Too bad I came along just then and drove you off. You'll never get the money now.
I'll get it, don't worry. And all the rest of it, too. It belongs to me. My father should never have left it to her.
I'm afraid, Duncan, that sooner or later you might kill Peggy.
Well, maybe I will if she gets wise to me.
Now look, Malone, I'd never have got mixed up with a kid if I'd known this.
Not very pretty, is it? Don't forget that if anything happened to his sister, he had threatening letters in your handwriting. Where do you think that would have put you?
He was going to give them back when he paid me my grand here on the cliff tonight.
Ah, you're a fool, Sherman. Why do you think I told you to pick Devil's Deep for a meeting place? And those notes I delivered by myself.
Get it, Sherman? Noble brother meets nasty blackmailer. Shoves him off cliff in self-defense.
Neat, huh? I wasn't acting when I said I hated you, Sherman. I never could stand the way you looked at Peggy.
Why, you little rat, that's fine coming from you. I ought to...
Look out, he may have a gun.
Of course I have. Why do you think I let the two of you come out here after me? After I get rid of you, I'm still going to get that money.
Listen, kid, I'm going to take that gun away from you and give you the spanking of your life.
Keep away from the edge, Sherman. He'll plug you as sure as...
He hasn't got what it takes. Just a loudmouth brat. Go on, you keep backing up toward the edge, sonny boy, and pretty soon...
Take another step, Sherman, and I'll shoot.
No, you won't, kid, because I'm going to...
That's the story, Inspector. I didn't tell it because I... Well, I hoped Miss Scott wouldn't have to know.
Sorry it had to come out this way, Miss Scott.
Oh, if only I could have helped him.
You tried. But Duncan was really dangerous. Maybe it's just as well that fate stepped in and took a hand.
As though some evil force had claimed him.
Yeah. The Devil's Deep.
shadows and stillness, mystery weaves a spell of strangest fascination, charging the mind with doubts and fears. For mystery is a strange companion, a living memory in the haunting hour.
Stay where you are. Do not break the stillness of this moment. For this is a time of mystery, a time when imagination is free and moves forward swiftly, silently. This is the haunting hour. Of death. This is the story of a man named Spear, of a bird, a kind of carrion crow, and of a student of birds named Victor. This is also a story of Victor's uncle, Orin, but that comes later. At this moment, we are concerned only with the trio, Spear, Victor, and the bird of death, the crow.
Watch this, Victor. I'm going to get him.
I wouldn't if I were you, Spear.
Got him! No, you just wounded him. He's getting away.
Why did you object to my shooting that bird?
It's a member of the Corvus Coroni family, a kind of carrion crow.
So what?
Well, there's an old Indian tradition about those particular birds.
A tradition, eh? Well, what is it? Not that I'm interested in those old superstitions.
I would be if I were you, Spear.
Why?
Because, according to legend, it is the bird of death.
This is also the story of Victor's uncle, Orin, a man with a different kind of interest in birds, an interest that often took him and Spear to a certain marsh.
Are those all the decoys we brought with us, Spear?
Yes, sir.
Then roll over to the blind. Never can tell when a flight of ducks will come along.
Yes, sir.
There's that old fishing weir. It's a pity it isn't used anymore. I hate to see anything wasted.
Yes, sir.
Just a lot of stakes driven into the marsh. A fish trap. They bait it, the fish get in, and they're caught. Looks like an arrow from above.
Yes, sir.
I'm glad we put the decoys around it. It's a natural place for them. Makes the setting perfect. No duck will be suspicious of it.
Yes, sir.
You stop that infernal yes, sir. Can't you say anything besides yes, sir?
Yes. Of course, Mr. Arne, anything you wish.
You know, you're too agreeable today, Spear. Too agreeable. There's a streak of cussedness in you. It's usually right beneath the surface, but you're covering it up today. And covering it up real well. What's up?
Why, nothing. Nothing at all, Mr. Arne. I don't know what you're talking about.
You don't, eh? Well, most people don't know what the other fellow's talking about. That's what's wrong with the world. More people would. Hurry up, Spear. You're rowing as if we had all day.
Yes, sir.
Can't get over what a perfect setting that old fishing weir makes for our decoys. Why, the ducks have come right into the nozzles of our shotguns without suspecting there are any hunters around.
It's a good setup, all right.
Good. It's perfect. You know, that's what counts in the world, Spear. The setting. Give a man the right setting and he can get away with murder. Why, there's been many... Hey, Spear, you're not rowing toward the blind.
No, I'm not, Mr. Arin.
You're rowing toward the fishing weir. What's the big idea?
It's the right setting, Mr. Arin. Give a man the right setting and he can get away with murder. You said so yourself.
Murder? Murder?
What are you talking about? Whose money?
Yours, Mr. Arryn.
Stop throwing. Now, Spear, I don't like this.
That's understandable. Most of us are cowards. We flinch from death. Even wealthy men like you, Mr. Arryn.
Oh, stop joking.
Does this shotgun look as if I'm joking? You'll notice it's pointed right at your chest, and a shotgun at close range is a pretty messy weapon, I've read.
Why, you...
You needn't bother looking for your shotgun. It's behind me. You haven't a chance in the world of getting it. In fact, you haven't a chance, period.
Spear, you're crazy. You can't get away with this. I'll call for help.
In the first place, you won't call. The instant you even try to yell, I'll pull the trigger. In the second place, who'd hear you out here in the marsh?
Why, I don't... Victor, yes, that's it. Victor might hear me. He often comes out here to study bird life. Or maybe one of the servants may be around here.
None of the servants will be around here today. You know Jed's too lazy to do anything he doesn't have to, and Kathy's rheumatism will keep her indoors on a day like this.
But Victor...
He won't be here today either. No, Mr. Arryn, you'd better not count on help from your dear nephew. I've taken care of him.
You killed Victor?
Now, why would I do that? I only want to kill one man, and that's you, Mr. Arryn. No, I saw to it that Victor received a new book on ornithology this morning. He's in his study reading about the habits of birds.
The habits of birds. Birds that, according to scientists, were once reptiles. But according to science, man was also once a reptile. So the lives of the two, birds and men, may at times be interwoven. In his study, Victor muses.
Birds are strange creatures. Jed, do you know that the Ardea herodias...
What?
The Ardea herodias, the great blue heron.
You mean like them that live around the marsh?
Precisely. Well, the Ardea herodias has one claw that's toothed.
You don't say.
I don't, but this book does. It says the middle toe is toothed.
What's the bird want teeth in his middle toe for?
I suppose to make it easier to hold on to the fish it catches. You've seen them catch fish, haven't you?
Yeah, especially around the old fish trap in the marsh. I don't reckon I ever saw one of them lose a fish once he grabbed a hold of it.
Precisely.
Oh, say, I reckon there ain't much them book writers don't know. Wonder how they learn it.
By observation, Jed. Oh, I tell you, this is a fine book. I just got it this morning. I don't know who sent it, but whoever did certainly knew what he was doing. It's a remarkable book. You ought to read it.
I ain't no hand at book reading.
To think that a man like you or me, could learn so much about ornithology.
About what, Mr. Victor?
Ornithology, that's the scientific name for the study of bird life.
Oh.
And he learned it the right way, by watching birds in their native habitats.
Yeah? They're what?
Where they live.
What do you want to do that for?
Because it's so interesting. It's fascinating. I think I'll go down to the marsh to watch the Ardea herodias myself. Yes, that's what I'll do this very instant. I'm going to the marsh.
Arryn went to the marsh to kill birds. Spear went to kill Arryn. Victor is going to the marsh to observe birds. Birds and men, they're all interwoven. As interwoven as the threads of life and of death.
But why do you want to kill me, Spear? You've been my secretary almost 10 years. I've paid you well, haven't I? I've been good to you, haven't I?
But not as good as I'm going to be to myself.
Why, I even made a provision in my will for you.
But not as big as the provision I've made in it.
As you've made? What are you talking about?
I've destroyed your will and substituted one to fit my own ambitions. I'm going to inherit quite a piece of your estate.
So you won't get away with it? You'll be found out.
Do you think so? How many years have I been signing your name to letters?
About 8.
Has anyone ever detected that it isn't your signature?
I know that is...
Exactly. No one will ever suspect the will is a forgery. Simple, isn't it?
But it is never simple, Spear.
You're quite philosophic for a man who is about to die. But you overlook the fact that I've planned this carefully for 5 years. I know every detail of what I'm going to do. There isn't a chance of a slip-up.
The perfect crime, eh?
Yes, I suppose you can call it that. Everything will go just as I planned it, Mr. Arryn. With your money, I'll be on Easy Street the rest of my life.
I'm not dead, Jet.
I'll take care of that in a moment, sir.
There are easier ways of making money, Spear.
I like this way better. Incidentally, that's where you're going to be buried, Mr. Arryn. Over there at the fishing weir. Take a good look at it. Not every man gets a chance to see his future grave.
No, not every man gets a chance to see his future grave. But every man has his own hopes of averting, or at least delaying, death. Other people may inadvertently help him. For instance, right now at Arryn's house, Kathy, the housekeeper, is saying...
Jed, where's Mr. Victor?
In his study, I reckon.
You reckon. I've never seen such a man for not knowing nothing.
Well, ain't he in his study?
No, he ain't. But I'd be asking if he was there?
No, I don't reckon you would.
Oh, there you go, reckoning again. Can't you give a body a straight answer?
What do you always want to be picking on me for, Cassie? I reckon... I mean, I ain't no nursemaid to know where everybody's at all the time.
Now, Jed, you keep a civil tongue in your head. Land of Goshen, you think a body said something outlandish to you. All I asked...
All you asked was if I knowed where Mr. Victor is. And I said... Say, I just remembered. He said he was going out to the marsh to see...
Just what I thought. He's going out to see if he can get a look at some of them wild birds he's so crazy about. Oh, I might have known it. That man will be the death of me yet.
Well, what you carrying on like that for? Can a man go for a walk to the marsh without you raising a ruckus?
Not without his mackinaw on a raw day like this, he can't. Oh, that poor boy will catch his death of cold. Goshen, I don't know what folks would do if I didn't look after him. Now, you get Mr. Victor's mackinaw and take it to him right this minute.
Oh, Kathy, if he didn't take it himself, maybe it's because he don't want it.
Jed, you do like I say. You take Mr. Victor's mackinaw to him right this minute. He had my rheumatism. He'd know better than leaving it behind.
But how am I going to know where he's at?
You just said yourself he was going to the marsh. Well, you go there, too. Keep looking till you find him.
Oh, all right. Don't get head up about it. I reckon all I do around here is go traipsing around following.
Have you had a good look at your future grave, Mr. Arryn? You're going to be in it soon. I'm going to kill you with your own shotgun. It'll be the culmination of 5 years of careful planning.
Oh, you ungrateful wretch. I ought to...
You ought to keep quiet and listen to me. And don't make any suspicious moves. I've got an itchy trigger finger, and I don't want anything to happen to you until I'm absolutely ready.
Spear, I'm telling you again...
You're telling me again that I can't get away with it. Well, you're wrong, Mr. Arryn. You're not dealing with stocks and bonds now. You're dealing with human life. Your life.
All right, Spear. You win. I'll make a deal with you.
What kind of a deal?
I'll pay you as much money as you want, if only you won't kill me. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'll make you rich.
You'll double-cross me, that's what you'll do.
No, honestly.
Honestly, that's a laugh. What an awful sap you must think I am. Well, you turn me over to the police so fast it would make my head swim. But it's your head that's going to swim underwater.
Oh, no, Spear, please.
I'm going to shoot you, then I'm going to tie you to the bottom of one of the stakes of the fishing weir. You'll be fastened so securely, you'll be there forever. No one will ever find you there.
Spear, listen to me. I'll do anything you say, anything. Only don't kill me.
You're stalling for time, Mr. Arryn, but it won't do you any good.
Listen to me.
You know nothing you say will keep me from carrying out my plans.
I'll sell my property over to you. I'll make it legal. You'll be rich. I'll think it over.
I have thought it over. For 5 years. That's a long time, Mr. Arryn. Everything is just as I planned it, including your begging for mercy.
I promise I'll never tell anybody about this. If only...
Of course you'll never tell anybody about this. You know the old saying, dead men tell no tales.
Spear, I don't want to die.
No one wants to die. And no one wants to lie at the bottom of a marsh tied to a fish trap. It isn't much of a monument, especially for a rich man like you, Mr. Arryn. But it's going to be yours for eternity.
Please, please.
Your proposition, if I let you live.
I'll do anything you want, Spear. Anything you want. I'll give you everything I've got. Now, you'll never regret it. Believe me, you won't.
You're right. I'll never regret it. And by it, I mean this.
This is the story of Spear and a gun which he fired twice. The first time at a crow, which he did not kill, but merely crippled. The second time at his employer, Mr. Arryn, whom he murdered on the spot. This is the story of Victor, Mr. Arryn's nephew, a student of bird life who worries about the crippled crow and who questions Spear about the disappearance of his uncle. He does not know that Spear has fastened Mr. Arryn's dead body to the bottom of an old fishing weir in the marsh.
You were right, Victor. That crow was the bird of death. Of course, I don't believe in Indian superstitions, but if I hadn't shot that bird, maybe Mr. Arryn wouldn't be dead now.
Don't blame yourself, Spear. But what I can't understand is why we haven't been able to recover the body. That crew of men has been searching around the center of the marsh with grappling hooks all day now.
Maybe the body is caught on a shrub or something at the bottom.
This could be. If that's the case, I'll ask them to use dynamite.
Dynamite? I hadn't thought of that.
Are you sure you pointed out the exact spot where the accident happened?
I'm positive.
Then there's nothing to do but use dynamite. That'll dislodge anything in the immediate vicinity. Been using dynamite and still no sign of Uncle's body.
I'm just as sorry about that as you are, but as I said before, it's probably wedged between some shrubs or rocks down at the bottom. These old marshes are full of them, you know.
Yes.
I know how you must feel, Victor, but please bear in mind it isn't easy for me either.
I can understand that, your having been with him when it happened.
I'll never forget it. It was terrible. Last night I dreamed about it. I felt the water closing over me as I surface-dived the last time trying to find him. My hands searched in vain. I could feel the water suffocating me, and then I awoke drenched in cold sweat. Oh, if only I could have saved him.
Don't blame yourself, Spear. You did everything you could. Too bad Jed and I didn't get here about 5 minutes sooner. Then we could have helped.
Yes, it's too bad.
I can't get over an experienced hunter like Uncle capsizing the boat.
Well, as I told you before, he was so anxious to get the duck he'd shot, he leaned way over the gunwale as he reached for it. He leaned too far. The boat turned over, plunging us both into the water.
Yes, you told us about that.
I tried to get him to stay in the blind while I rowed out and retrieved the bird, but no, nothing would do but for him to get into the boat with me. I asked him not to.
Why?
Why what?
Why did you ask him not to get into the boat with you?
Well, I don't really know, only...
Only you had a premonition. Is that it, Spear?
Well, no, that is not exactly... Only there was no necessity for both of us going after the duck. I could have gotten it myself. I always have in the past when we went hunting together.
But this time, things worked out differently, eh, Spear?
Yes, this time things worked out differently.
Maybe things like that are planned.
What do you mean?
Oh, fate, destiny, you know, that sort of thing.
I believe everything happens according to plan. Everything.
Who will gainsay that everything does happen according to plan? But whose plan? And what is the plan? Is there no such thing as circumstance? And what part does it play in the plans a man may make?
And they haven't found the body yet?
Nary a sign of it, Kathy. Nary a sign.
Oh, poor Mr. Oren, not getting a decent burial. It ain't right, him being down the bottom of the marsh like that. I tell you, Jed, it ain't right.
No, reckon ain't nobody gonna argue with you about that. But day's dynamiting ain't done no good. Ain't much more that can be done.
You mean they'll leave him down there?
I reckon so. What else can they do?
Well, I don't rightly know, but seems like they oughtn't to give up till they find poor Mr. Oren's body.
Maybe they ain't never gonna find it.
Why?
Maybe it just wasn't meant to be found.
Oh, Jed, you don't make no sense.
No, lots of things don't make no sense, if you ask me.
Things like what?
Well, I don't rightly know how to put it, but some things just don't add up.
Oh, land of Goshen, Jed, you're going to drive me plumb crazy with that kind of talk. What things don't add up?
Well, it's like this, Kathy. You recollect you sent me out to the marsh to find Mr. Victor and give him his Mackinaw?
Of course I recollect.
Well, I done like you told me to. I found him moseying along toward the marsh, reading one of them books that he got the very day of Mr. Orange's accident.
I know all about that.
Yeah, but here's what you don't know. He asked me to go to the marsh with him. He wanted to show me something about about blue heron. And so I went with him.
I know all about that, too. What of it?
Hold your horses, will you? I'm coming to that. We heard a shot from the marsh, along about the fishing weir, I'd say. And a few minutes later, when we got there... There was Mr. Spear, dripping water and climbing out of the marsh with his story about how Mr. Oren was drowned.
Well, what don't add up with that? It's exactly what Mr. Spear's been telling about the accident.
Yeah, but according to his story, Mr. Oren, he shot a duck from where they was hiding in the blind. The duck fell in the middle of the marsh, and he and Mr. Spear, they got in the boat and rowed out to get the dead bird.
That's right.
Mr. Oren leans out to pick the duck out of the water, and the boat turns over, drowning him. Even though Mr. Spear, according to his story... done everything he could to save Mr. Oren. Now, appears to me that was a mighty short time for all that to happen. Seems like all them doings ought to take more than the 4 or 5 minutes it took me and Mr. Victor to get to the marsh and see Mr. Spear climbing out of it.
Oh, land of Goshen, Jed, that kind of talk would drive a body clean out of their mind. Maybe it took you and Mr. Victor more than 4 or 5 minutes to get to the edge of the marsh.
No, it didn't.
And even if it didn't, that don't mean nothing. Things just naturally happen fast sometimes.
Yeah, maybe. But still, it just don't set right with me. I reckon it ought to take more time than that for all them things to happen.
So they stopped dynamiting her.
Yeah, Kathy, Mr. Victor finally gave it up. Said there was no use keeping it up forever.
Oh, that means poor Mr. Oren will be down there at the bottom of the marsh till doomsday.
I reckon so. I still say the whole thing don't add up just right.
Oh, now don't start that again, Jed. Body just can't stand being around you when you carry on with such crazy talk.
I just can't help feeling...
Oh, that... land of Goshen. You make even my rheumatism worse for that kind of talk.
All right, then. I'll keep quiet about it. But I still say...
There you go again.
All right, all right. Don't get yourself het up.
You and your crazy talk. You haven't told Mr. Victor any of it, have you?
No.
Well, don't. He's got enough on his mind right now as is.
I won't say nary word about it to him.
Promise?
Yes, I promise.
That's better. By the way, where is Mr. Victor now?
I reckon he and Mr. Spears over at the lawyer's for the reading of the will.
Looks like they could have waited a spell before they went into that.
Mr. Spears said they might as well get over with.
Guess he's right. Oh, I get all fussed up inside thinking of poor Mr. Oren resting down the butter. Jed, where you going?
I think I'll just mosey on over to the marsh for a spell. I just can't get it through my head why the whole thing don't end up.
Believe me, Victor, the contents of the will are as much of a surprise to me as they must be to you. I thought Mr. Oren would remember me, but I didn't dream he would leave me the bulk of his estate.
Neither did I.
I'm sorry if it upsets your plans in any way.
My plans? Looks as though Uncle didn't think much of them.
Then he knew about them?
He knew I wanted to devote my life to ornithology. Gave me the impression he approved of it.
He must have changed his mind.
Evidently, but it doesn't change mine. I'm going to be an ornithologist. I played around with it before as a hobby, but I'm in dead earnest now. I'm going to start right away. In fact, right now.
Now?
Yes. Spear, I'm going to begin with the birds I've observed closely the last few days.
But, Victor, you were at the marsh the last few days.
Precisely. And there were birds there, birds I want to see again. Spear, drive as close to the marsh as you can, and we'll walk the rest of the way.
If you don't mind my saying so, it sounds rather silly to me.
Do you mind doing what I ask?
No, I don't mind. Why should I?
I don't know. Then there are other things I don't know. Things I intend to find out about. You have a gun?
A what?
A gun. What's the matter? Don't you understand English?
Look, Victor, I can understand you're being upset about the will.
Well, have you got a gun or haven't you?
There's a double-barrel shotgun on the back of a car.
That's perfect for what I want. Now, row out to the middle of the marsh where the accident happened.
Very well, if that's what you want, but it seems rather...
That's what I want.
Okay. Well, here we are. Now, what's this got to do with birds?
Plenty. See that buzzard of a crow sitting there on the fishing weir? The bird you crippled? Or watch me take a shot at him.
You missed him.
I intended to. Killing isn't in my line.
What does that crack mean?
You'll know soon enough.
I don't understand you, Victor. First you try to keep me from shooting that bird. Then you take a crack at him and miss him on purpose. You must be losing your mind.
On the contrary, my mind is just beginning to function. Now, Spear, I want you to row over to the fish trap.
Huh?
You heard me. I said row over to the fishing weir.
Now, look, Victor, I've had all of this I want. You can't order me around.
I'll remind you that this is a double-barrel shotgun. Only one shell has been fired, so the other barrel is still loaded. And it's pointed right at you. Do I make myself understood?
Yes.
All right, then. Row! Edge the boat over a little, Spear. Right against the stake that crow is sitting on.
Why, it's back.
Yes, it's back. Back on the same stake it's been sitting on for 3 days now. It just sits there and stares hungrily straight down into the water.
Well, what of it?
That bird is a scavenger, Spear. It isn't here to catch fish like the other birds. It's only interested in carrion.
All right, so it's interested in carrion. What's that to me?
You're interested in carrion too, Spear, but in a different way.
You're crazy. You don't know what you're saying.
Prove it. Let's investigate that stake, the one the bird was perched on.
No. No, let's go back to the house.
You're afraid because my uncle's corpse is at the other end of it, Spear.
No, of course not. It's because...
Why you give me that?
No. I've got the gun. All right, your uncle's down there at the bottom of the fish trap. I killed him just as I'm going to kill you right...
I got him just in time, Mr. Victor. I heard what he said. I was there in the duck blind. I'm sure glad I had my rifle with me.
I told him that Corvus Coroni was the bird of death.
This is the story of a man named Spear, of a bird, a kind of carrion crow, of a student of bird life named Victor, and of his uncle, Oren. A story of birds and men interwoven as the threads of life and death. From shadows and stillness,
mystery weaves a spell of strangest fascination, charging the mind with doubts and fears. For mystery is a strange companion, a living memory in the haunting hour.
This has been a Cryptic County podcast. To listen to our original storytelling podcasts and for all things suspense, horror, and weird, check out CrypticCountyPodcasts.com, where you'll find shows like Let's Not Meet, a true horror podcast, and Odd Trails, a true paranormal podcast. We'll see you next time. Stay safe.
You know what ought to happen next? If this was a horror story...
That's what ought to happen next.
It did.